If we can accept the fact that we all have our own coping mechanisms when we're not feeling comfortable in a situation, why is it that we are so harsh on the way that neurodivergent people self-soothe? This is what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to be going over six different types of stimming behaviors and what they represent and why it's so important to raise awareness for it. For those who don't know me, my name is Danielle C. Baker. I am the founder and CVO of Being Connected. And I'm also a registered early childhood educator with over 20 years' experience in the field. I help parents and educators navigate the realities of what it's like to raise children now. But don't get it twisted. When you work with me, we're putting the child's needs first. So we're going to have to put the ego and pride aside. And let's get to it. Hello, 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 and welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And of course, with season two, this episode is brought to you by the Self-Esteem Doctor Online Academy with the amazing Dr. Simone Alicia. There's a wealth of resources there to help with your child's self-esteem and confidence, which is perfect for back to school. I will leave the information in the description so you can have a look at that. Highly recommended. They do some really great work there. So we'll jump right into it with stimming. So something that people don't really understand much. We tend to associate it to people that are on the autism spectrum, ADHD, or any kind of neurodiversity. But mostly for people that are on the spectrum, they're very much more open about it. And just want to talk about the fact that we're still having such a hard time accepting that behavior when we, in fact, all stim. So let's start with that. First of all, what is stimming? Some people don't understand what stimming is. So stimming is a repetitive self-soothing behavior. So that's something that we have or that we do, maybe consciously or subconsciously, that helps us soothe. That when we're nervous, when we're a little anxious, when we're not feeling good, we tend to have this little habit of ours. So we all have this. If you've ever been in class and you're kind of just shaking your leg, you're spinning. This is one that I do all the time. You're spinning your pen, you're clicking your pen. Some people will bite their nails. Somebody will bite their tongue or the inside of their cheek. You could, rub your hands together, rub your knees. Those are kind of nervous behaviors that we would call, but they're actual stims. Everybody stims. Everybody has a self-soothing behavior. So why is it so bothersome when neurodivergent people do them? Why is it that we can accept it on a day-to-day basis? But if an autistic person has their stim, where it makes us very uncomfortable. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Before I do start as well, I wanted to kind of shout out to this. I can't really call him a young man. He is 16 years old, but Torin Wolf, I invite you to look him up on social media. There's an autistic adolescent, I guess I could say, who talks openly about his condition. He is autistic. He has ADHD. His mom had a late diagnosis as well with autism. And he really gets raw and real about what he goes through. And it's beautifully made. And he's really, really giving anybody that would have a stigma on autism or ADHD, he really makes it real. He'll talk about his meltdowns. He'll talk about how he feels about certain things. And the fact that his mother and himself don't have the same symptoms or react the same way, they kind of have that open conversation. So it's really interesting if you wanted to know more about the realities of neurodiversity. And just wanted to put it out there. Thank you so much, Torin, for sharing your story. And I invite everybody to go check it out. It's very, very interesting, especially for parents. If you want to know if your child is nonverbal, let's say, he kind of gives a voice to people who do go through what he goes through. So again, just going to say we all STEM. Like I said, I mentioned some ways that you do this stimming, and put it in the comments below. If you recognize any of your stims, like I mentioned, that leg shake that we all had in class because we were just wanting to be out of there. If you have to sit through a meeting for so long and you start swiveling on your chair, right? This is a big one as well. So you don't have to be neurodivergent for that. We all do it. So why is it seen as a negative thing when it's an autistic child that does it, or an autistic adult? It seems to be even worse because now you have a grown adult who has a behavior that makes everybody uncomfortable. And that's really what it all comes down to, because stimming is a self-soothing behavior. It helps you calm down. There's nothing negative about that. The reason why it becomes negative is that the people around that person now feels uncomfortable. So it's not the person that has the stim problem. That's a problem for the people around them who don't feel comfortable with it. So that's why it's seen in a negative way, and that's why we need to talk about it. We need to raise awareness for it, because it's a natural behavior. It's just maybe intensified a little bit for some people, but it's still the same. It's a self-soothing mechanism so that you could feel in control. That's a very important part. When somebody starts stimming, it's because they do not necessarily feel in control of what's going on in their environment. And this is a way for them, that repetitive behavior is a way for them to be in control. So it doesn't matter what that looks like. It's what is important to them at that point. It will change sometimes. And I will go over the six different types of stims that you can notice in people, or that you can notice in yourself. Maybe you've never really paid attention to it. It will change. Sometimes you'll go to verbal. Sometimes you'll go to auditory. It could change. But it's something that you'll carry throughout your adult years, whether you're neurotypical or neurodivergent. It will follow you. It's just a coping mechanism. So it's something that you can notice. If it's taking a change, it could be something that's bothering you a little bit more than usual. And that kind of gets you aware of what kind of state you're in. So it's actually a good thing. It's how we react to it that makes it negative sometimes. So I'm going to go over the six different types of stimming. There's more, or there's a combination of some, but those are the ones that you will notice. And I will speak specifically, of course, this is a parenting podcast, so I will speak specifically about children, but it's something that goes throughout into the adult years. And it's something that, again, neurotypical or neurodivergent people will have. So if you notice these signs in your children, don't automatically think that your child has a diagnosis of some sort. We all have our coping mechanisms. So it's important to say that there's definitely other factors involved, but it's good to recognize them. So as a parent or as an adult who is in charge of a child, when you start seeing these stims, it's a child's way of showing that they're not comfortable in that moment. So you could actually, that body language, when I often say, children have 100 languages, it's only one of them that's spoken. So the stimming is a way to communicate, to say that they're not feeling very well at that point. It can actually help you prevent a meltdown. If you can see that right now they're not too comfortable, something's bothering them, we can kind of move them aside, redirect them to something that'll calm them down a little bit more. So they're very, very useful tools to have. So that's why it's important to know about them. Sometimes stimming can provoke others to stim as well. We see that often, and I didn't realize, I only started paying attention to my own side effects and my own symptoms being neurodivergent as I started working more and more with children with autism or ADHD or any other conditions. And it was kind of interesting. It's just recent, I would say, in the last 10 years or so that I started to notice mine and go, hey, wait a minute, I do this. So, but I've also noticed, without knowing that that's what it was, especially when I go into verbal stims, there's certain sounds that I will make when I've just completed a task where I needed a lot of concentration. And then it's just like, that's one of them. When I'm just like really intense, I've got a lot of things to think about, a lot of things to do. Now it's done. And it's like, I do the horse thing, the something like this. Or sometimes I'll make a high-pitched noise. And my kids will actually reply with the same noise. So it's like a snowball effect. If I start, they start. So it's quite funny now that I can see it, that I notice it, that it's actually something that can trigger others as well. Start discovering that world in your own home. It's really interesting. So the first one we're going to go with in terms of stimming behavior is the visual stim. So this is something that you will see where there's repetitive blinking. That is something that is very soothing for some children. Eye tracking. So that can look like a side eye sometimes. You'll see that in kids too, where they just be like. So eye tracking is one of them. It's a visual thing for them. Again, something that they're in control of. Flicking the lights on and off is also a form of stimming. Or staring at a moving object when you kind of go in a trance. If you have, I'm trying to think, it's some like a lava lamp. That's the only thing that comes to mind right now. But you're just kind of lost in the bubbles and looking at fish in an aquarium, where you're just kind of watching them go. It kind of puts you in a trance. That will be one kind of the kind of things that you could see as stim. So again, it's not necessarily specific to an autistic person. You could be a neurotypical person and get caught up in watching fish or watching a fire in the fire pit, and you just kind of get lost in the flames. That is a form of self-soothing practice. So keep that in mind. Auditory is another form of stimming, where this is the one that a lot of people will be able to relate to, is if you're listening to the same song on repeat forever. There's something soothing about that. You've got that song in the loop. You're driving everybody else crazy, or you have that one song stuck in your head that you just keep singing the same lyrics over and over again. It is a form of self-soothing. You have control over what's going on. For some reason, that song speaks to you. It's calming you down, and you just have it on repeat. That can happen with children with videos as well, if they're watching their favorite cartoon and they just keep rewinding and replaying the same clip over and over again. That is also another form of stimming. You could have clapping, snapping, clicking. So anything with noise, right? So they could be snapping, tapping on a surface. So you'll get a lot of kids who will tap, like I was saying earlier, when you're clicking your pen, a sound can be soothing for you. You could be tapping any sort of objects, but that's really what it is in terms of auditory. Of course, anything that would make sound that is soothing for that person. So just think of the auditory stims that you would have that you're not even aware of. It's kind of interesting. The other form of stimming is tactile. Now we're touching stuff. So you could be rubbing your hands together. That's one way. Leaning or pressing your body. So you've got, oops, I just hit my mic there. Sorry if that was a horrible noise. But just that pressing, right? You can have something like that. Leaning, body pressing. You could be leaning on a wall, that kind of thing. Touching or petting surfaces. So you'll see people that just kind of, children will do that with hair, and they just kind of, or they have this, their favorite blankie, and they just kind of constantly rubbing that whatever fabric they have. If they're walking down the road and there's a fence and you're just kind of running your fingers through the fence, we used to do that a lot as children. Everybody did. Is this that repetitive touching feeling that is very soothing for somebody? Squeezing, poking, booping, those kind of things is again very tactile, and it's a form of self-soothing behavior that helps a lot. There's also the verbal stim, and that is probably what people will associate stimming to, is the verbal, because it's a bit more disruptive, right? If they're constantly doing this little high-pitched noise, it could be bothersome to some people. But the verbal stims are really just like repeating the same words. Or the same phrase, so they're just on repeat. They're always saying, something like, "I'm just looking right now. I just looked over at a watermelon." So it'd be like, "Watermelon, watermelon, watermelon." They just kind of repeat it. They can actually start dancing to it. So it's something that they can it helps them kind of soothe the whatever anxiety that they're having. It could be if you find yourself quoting books or movies a lot, that is actually a form of stimming. It is a self-soothing behavior. So if you catch yourself every time something goes on and you have some kind of a quote to refer to that particular situation, just know that that's the way you're stimming, whether you're neurotypical or not, or neurodivergent or not. It is a stim. So it's really interesting when you start to look at your own behaviors. So you could be in a situation where you're a little bit more nervous in a social interaction. So you're quoting these books, you're quoting these movies, and that's your way of interacting and feeling a bit more comfortable around the social setting. So that is a stim. The next one is the oral or olfactory stim. So this is where it can also be a little bit more disruptive or it's seen as a more negative thing in children, especially in the school setting, is where they're biting, they're chewing, they're licking. So this is where you'll get children who, their shirts are constantly wet because they're always chewing on their shirt. The biting can be very disruptive as well. They'll try to bite anything that they have. That's why we have those necklaces now that are very helpful to kind of redirect so they're not actually biting themselves. They could hurt themselves, especially in autistic children. They have a different threshold of pain. A lot of them don't feel pain the same way, so they could bite through their skin and it won't bother them. So that is one way of showing up. Touching with their tongue or teeth, this happens a lot, especially if they're very sensitive to senses, like sensory issues when it comes to food. When you're introducing a new food, they would sometimes lick it or touch it to their teeth just to kind of get a sense of the texture to see if they actually want to go ahead and eat it. So that is another one. Teeth grinding is one of them, and you don't have to be neurodivergent for that. If ever you're going through stressful periods, you may find yourself grinding your teeth. That is a form of stim. The repetitive sniffing as well. So it's not just in your mouth, but it's olfactory, right? So constantly sniffing things. That's another way of sniffing. You'll get that with children that have their blankie will often smell it. If ever you've had, that happens a lot, is your mom's t-shirt or something, and you're just kind of smelling it, it soothes you a little bit. So that's another way of showing up. The last one is the vestibular or proprioceptive. I don't know if I'm saying that one right, but this is, again, it's a lot more associated to autism, but spinning, pacing, rocking, jumping and hopping. So you see a lot of autistic children who just kind of are always kind of skipping, jumping, dancing. The hands are kind of flopping. That's one way of self-soothing as well. So there's quite a bit, but it all kind of shows up on all of us. The rocking, I find myself doing that quite a bit. I thought it was related to having children when you're kind of swaying all the time. But I notice if I'm waiting in line at the supermarket or some kind of store waiting at the cash, and I'm still swaying. So this is a self-soothing habit for me that I wasn't aware of, and just kind of shifting my weight from one leg to the other, and I'm just rocking myself. And that's just because I hate shopping. I hate being around people that much. And waiting in line is excruciating for me. So that rocking just kind of soothes me for some reason. I just go along with whatever music they're playing in the store, and I feel better. So those are the different types of stims that will show up in children, but it'll show up in adults as well. It's important to notice them. Like I said, if you wanted to kind of keep an eye on your child and see when they're not feeling as well, then it's easier for you to intercept and help whenever you can. And it's also important to raise awareness for this, because it is important, even if you don't have a neurodivergent child, as a person, it is important to notice that some people are not comfortable in a situation, and that's just the way they cope with it. We all have our own coping mechanism. So it is important for everybody, but in raising awareness, we can educate people. So if you are a parent who doesn't have neurodivergent children, but you're at the park and you see a child that has a stim fit, I guess we could say, instead of having your child stare kind of afraid of that strange behavior, you can explain to them to say, well, you know, this is how they when they're not feeling comfortable, this is what this person chooses to do to feel better. So it's okay. When you keep your explanation very simple, the children will be okay with that. Even if they're younger, they'll see that that child is not behaving the same way. But you can say this sometimes when people don't feel comfortable, they do different things. And this is what they choose to do to help them calm down. This is how they calm down. And the child will be happy with that explanation. And you can even go further and say, what do you do to help you calm down? You know, let's talk about that. So we take the attention away from the child that's having the behavior, that stimming behavior. And when they're being watched and stared at, it provokes the stim even more because they are aware that they're being judged. Children know from a very young age that they are different and that they're being judged. So by staring at them with that look that we give them, it can provoke even more anxiety. So we're provoking the child into the stimming, and this is why what do we do when we see children or adults having those stim sessions, I guess we could say, if they do kind of have that behavior around you, it's just to let them be. When you're in a meeting and you're shaking your leg, nobody's staring at you going like, what's wrong with him? What's wrong with her? You know, nobody's going to judge you when you're humming a song while you're doing the dishes, right? It's not, so just let them be. It's normal behavior. We all stim. They just have a different way. They may stim more often because they are uncomfortable more often. So let them. Just let them be. They're not bothering you. If you're bothered, you can move. Don't forget that it's a self-soothing behavior. So if they're stimming around you, what is your role in this, right? Instead of judging the children, instead of judging the people, start looking around and say, okay, what can I do to help them feel more comfortable? Or what is my role in making this person uncomfortable right now, right? Let's get that. Like I said, stimming. If stimming is a problem, it's not the person that's stimming that is having the problem. We're the ones who are uncomfortable watching the person stimming. So, what is your role in this? Start looking at that instead of judging them. So, let them be. What do we do? It's normal. That's how they self-soothe. That's how they calm down. So, let them be. And stop judging them. Instead of judging them, start looking around and say, what can I do to help ease that anxiety? And what is my role? Am I provoking this? You know, what am I doing that could be making this person uncomfortable? If you do, like I said, if you have a child, if you educate your children on it instead of making comments about the child. I've seen so many times autistic children, especially in a public park where they're having their behaviors because they are autistic, and other parents are just being absolutely horrific to that child until we tell them that they're autistic, and then they're like, oh, okay. You know, but they'll yell at the child, they'll publicly shame that child just because they don't know what's going on with the child. So, educate your children and say, if this is called stimming, if you see a child, an autistic child at the park that's screaming or that is chewing on the swing, it happens. Just say this, some children are a bit more nervous when they're out in public, and this is their way of calming down. It's a little different, but it's okay. And what do you do? You know, what do you like to do when you're a little nervous and you like to calm down? You bring it back. Teach your children that it's okay. There are some more destructive behaviors. Of course, some children will hit, some children will bite, some children will scream. I mean, when your child sees another child banging their hands on a wall, yes, it's a bit more dramatic. There's other things to talk about, but it's to keep reminding your child that that child doesn't feel comfortable, and that is their way of coping with it. and just not make it such a taboo subject. It happens, and it's the reality of some people. So let's see how we, what can we do to help, as opposed to what can, how much more judging can we do, right? So just explain it to your children. Explain it to, okay, I'm gonna ruffle some feathers here. The older generations are very judgmental. Let's be honest. I'm from that generation. Okay, so, and the older generations are worse. And I've been getting a lot of heat and comments from the older generations about how we should be raising children, you know, because they did such a great job. But let's talk about this. All right, you got the grandparents getting into it, the older uncles, the older aunties, correct them. It's in every right to say, listen, this child is not comfortable right now, and that's the way they're coping. In the way that you're behaving right now, I can understand why this child is not feeling comfortable right now. What can you do to help that child now? Right? If this was your child that was struggling right now, what would you want to do to help them? Call them out on it. All right? We have just a lot of people, and it's not just older generations, but I am going to point them out because they love to be verbal about it. So call them out on it, not just educating the children, but educating the older generations as well to say, listen, this child is struggling. That's what raising awareness is to educating the people to understand something that they're not used to. Like I said, stimming is not the person that has the stims. It's not their problem. The people that are uncomfortable around the stimming, that's their problem. So work, if it's a problem for you, then work on yourself. Why is it a problem? This person's just trying to be comfortable around you. They might want to change something there. So I'm going to leave it to that. If you have any questions on that, I'm going to keep it very vague, but please, please, please keep educating yourself on it. This is absolutely normal. What are your stims? What do you do? Whether you're neurotypical or neurodivergent, what are your stims? We all stim. Right. This is why we call this episode stimming positivity, because we need to change that. There's nothing wrong with stimming. We all do it. So what's your stims? What have you started to notice around it? Pay attention when you're a little, you know, if you're going to a job interview, are your hands tucked? What are you doing with your hands? It's interesting. I'm neurodivergent. I didn't even know I was stimming. But as a neurotypical person, you will also notice that you're stimming. So pay attention to that, and really pay attention to when you are starting to stim. What is going on around you that could trigger it? Because it's self-soothing. It helps you feel in control in a situation where you may not feel in control. So have a look at that. I'm going to leave it to that. Don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're watching or listening from. Don't forget to check out the Self-Esteem Doctor Online Academy. And of course, if you want more information on this, do reach out. I could do a live, I could do Q&A. I could do something that's a little bit more specific. I could do that as well. I kept it very vague for now because it's just an introduction. But again, if you have any questions, do not hesitate to reach out. I am a real person, but I'll leave it at that for today. So until next time, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.